Back to First Talk with Hal Rowe on WHKY Talk Radio for the Greater Hickory Metro, 1290 AM, 102.3 FM. Angela Lawrence joins us this morning. She is the Executive Director of the Patrick Beaver Learning Resource Center. And we've got this, I guess, world international expert, Dr. Russell Barkley, who'll be joining us here in Hickory. And quite a curriculum vitae. I'm taking a look here at some of the information. I mean, Chapel Hill grad for his undergrad, and then lots of other education, right now, doctor of psychology in South Carolina. He'll be coming to Hickory. He is at the Medical College, Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston, but he'll be coming to Hickory on March 4th. Is that March 5th?
March 5th.
March 5th, right. At 4 and 5, correct?
Yes, at 4 and 5 p.m. at P.E. Monroe at Lenoir Ryan University. And his presentations are free and open to the public. We hope that people will take the opportunity to come out because he really is a very sought-after speaker.
Yes.
And quite an expert. He's appeared on CNN, The Today Show.
Yeah, I was just looking at this today. Good Morning America, 60 Minutes with Leslie Stahl. That's pretty impressive. The Early Show with Brian Gutman. This is kind of the go-to guy.
He is
known. This is the expert.
Yes, he is known as the ADHD expert.
Now, help me with, and I know that you're not a physician, but tell me a little bit about, because you, before we came on the air, you said was something that you wanted to make sure of is that people understood that there is ADD and ADHD, and this is a medical designation.
Right. Recently, and I don't know exactly when this happened, but sometimes you would see the designation ADD, but we want parents to understand that when we've publicized these as ADHD workshops, that ADHD covers a broad variety of symptoms, and there is also ADHD without the hyperactivity. So don't think, you know, oh, my child just has attention deficit problems, they don't have the hyperactivity, I don't need to come to this. They
right.
do. This would be ideal for them because it is really a designation that that covers both with and without hyperactivity.
With and without hyperactivity. That's an important designation that people understand. There's going to be two separate and different presentations. And of course, we do have the expert, the international expert, coming mm-hmm. right here to Hickory on March 5th. Want to make sure people get that right. March 5th, 4 p.m. and 5 p.m. 4 o'clock is going to talk more about ADD, ADHD in a general sense. Is that correct?
Right. The title of that is Optimizing Outcomes, Essential Ideas for Raising a Child or Teen with ADHD. And so that's going to give parents, educators, real practical strategies that they can use with their child who has ADHD. And so, you know, just everybody who has a family member with ADHD, that they would benefit from coming. The next presentation is going to talk about, I think everybody thinks about the child who is squirming around with ADHD as the kid who can't stay still in their seat at school, but what happens when that kid gets behind the wheel of a car?
Behind the wheel of a car. We've got Dr. Barkley on the air, on the phone with us this morning. We're going to talk with him. Dr. Barkley, thanks so much for calling in this morning, sir.
Yes, my pleasure. It's already been a little late, Hal, but glad to be joining you.
I'm glad that you had time to join us this morning. You're the expert, it looks like, on ADD, ADHD in our nation. Help me, if you could, with a very brief description. I think these terms, we hear them all the time, but if you could help me with a very brief, and I know you could probably spend all day describing it, but the diagnosis of ADD or ADHD, and maybe that's the way that we could recognize that in maybe our children or maybe a good reason to go visit our primary care physician and see if that diagnosis would be appropriate.
Surely, Hal, that's fine. Most people know that it refers to difficulties with concentration, being distractible. Most kids are overactive and especially being very impulsive. What they don't understand is those are just the surface features of the disorder. Underneath that is a major problem with developing self-control, the ability to regulate your own behavior. And children develop that very early, and it takes a while for that to develop. But that's really the essence of the problem, is the ability to inhibit, to stop and think before you act. And that takes longer in these kids to develop than it does in others.
Now, you've been studying this for a number of years. Where does the problem arise? Is it this is something that's a medical condition that deals with maybe the chemicals in our body, the way that it is developed? Is it something that's social? Tell me a little bit about the actual diagnosis of this. Where does ADD, ADHD come from?
Gladly. I mean, it's a very complex disorder, and there are many, many causes, but
okay.
we can reduce them down to a few.
Okay.
First of all, it's highly genetic. So about two-thirds to three-quarters of all cases are due to different genes being inherited by the child. So
okay.
it's hereditary,
okay.
or it arises as a result of new genetic mutations, but
okay.
most cases are genetic.
Okay.
The second factor is birth complications and pregnancy complications.
Okay.
More infections than normal, exposure to alcohol or tobacco, or other toxins during brain development can also result in this. And then a small percentage results from injuries to the brain that occur after the child's born. These can be closed head injuries, they can be lead poisoning, or other problems. But notice that everything I'm talking about is neurological.
Okay.
Some social factors may play a role in making it worse rather than better, but they're not the original cause of the child's symptoms. So people have to stop looking at this as a result of bad parenting
okay.
or bad diet or too much TV or video games. It really is a neurodevelopmental problem.
Because it is a neurodevelopmental problem, is it treatable with medication? Or do we also need to bring in other social behavior aspects of this for the treatment of that? Would you call it a disorder or a disease? Help me with the definition there.
We call it a disorder. Disease kind of sounds like it's contagious.
Right.
Like a cold or a virus.
Right.
I prefer the term disorder.
Okay,
or
very good.
But you're right. It requires a combination of things. Certainly the most effective treatments out there, as far as the number of people helped and how much they're helped, come from the ADHD-approved medications that are
okay.
on the market.
Right.
But that said, you're still going to have to do other things. And so that's going to require that families be better educated about raising a child with a disability. I think of ADHD as the diabetes of psychiatry. If you had diabetes, the first thing you do is get educated about it.
Sure.
Then you might go on medication. Then you might change your lifestyle. And ADHD is very much like that. Parents have to learn different ways of parenting, not because they're doing something wrong, but because it's a very difficult child to raise. Schools need to adjust their curriculum. Some children need special education as well to supplement their regular education. But there has to be a combination of things that go with the medication to get the maximum benefit from the treatment package.
Do you think that parents are taking the time to, because if you said diabetes, we get that diagnosis, we take the time to find out more about it. Do we need metformin? Do we need insulin? What do we need? How do we manage this? Do you think there's a hesitation or a reticence on the part of some parents to even get the diagnosis and not to get the information that they need? And if there is, why do you think that problem exists?
Well, I think part of the problem is it's almost like the anti-vaccination movement in autism. There's a subset of people in this country that don't accept this diagnosis, whether they're with the Church of Scientology or whether they have other political or fundamental beliefs that are against it, or they're just not well-informed about it.
Right.
And from time to time, you see them in the media, in the newspapers or on television, criticizing the disorder as a myth or that we're over-medicating. And that, of course, causes natural alarm in other parents who may hear
gotcha.
That. And they might become reticent to seek treatment because of that. But that's just misinformation. If parents go to the right sources like Chad or their professional pediatricians in the area, they're likely to get better information and learn more about it. And nobody likes to give medication
right.
to their children. So there's a natural reluctance there as well. But, of course, if it's helpful to the child, then parents need to do that.
Dr. Barkley, I hate to ask you this, but do you have maybe just a couple more minutes for us? Can we put you on hold and come back after the break?
Gladly.
Thank you, sir.
HKY, 1290 AM, and now on 102.3 FM, talk radio for the greater Hickory Metro.
Good morning. Welcome back to First Talk with Hal Rowe. on WHKY Talk Radio for the Greater Hickory Metro, 1290 AM, 102.3 FM. Joining us in the studio this morning is Angela Lawrence, Executive Director of the Patrick Beaver Learning Resource Center. On the phone this morning, we have Dr. Russell Barkley. He is at the Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston, probably the most well-known expert on ADD, ADHD. He's been on published a number of books, also articles, journals, and is coming to Hickory. He's going to be here on March 5th. He'll have two presentations, one at 4 p.m., one at 5 p.m. And again, Dr. Barkley, we know you're a very busy man. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us on the phone this morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks so much, Hal.
Let's talk a little bit about what we may hear at the presentations. These are free and open to the public, and we're actually looking for parents and educators who, I guess, want to find out more and have better outcomes in working with children. And do we say ADD or ADHD to kind of give it a blanket and to kind of give it a good overview here? Because we found out earlier, if we have the hyperactivity disorder, or hyperactivity is not a part of it, we still can talk about ADD or ADHD in general terms. Is that correct, sir?
Well, that's correct. I mean, ADD is the older name for this disorder from the 1980s.
Okay.
ADHD is more recent.
But, okay.
Essentially, that's correct. If you don't have as much hyperactivity, many people use the ADD term, even though it's a bit dated.
Okay, very good. So ADHD, the first presentation at 5 o'clock, free and open to the public, Lenoir Ryan University, P.E. Monroe Auditorium. You're going to talk about this in general terms and looking for better outcomes. Is that correct, sir?
That's correct. I'm going to go over the nature of the disorder, kind of like we talked about already on your show, but in more detail.
Right.
And then I'm going to speak about the wide array of treatments that are available. You know, ADHD is a serious disorder. It's not benign, but it's also the most treatable disorder in our profession, in that we have more treatments, more people respond to them than ever before. The problem is that people don't access the treatments that they need necessarily. So we'll talk about all those issues as well, and things parents can do at home. I have a set of principles that parents should follow if they want to optimize their child's development, and we'll talk about those too.
It sounds to me, sir, like, because I don't know much about this, but it seems to me, going back to the diabetes analogy again, that we may have a different type of treatment for varying degrees of the disorder. We may at one point have maybe a metformin tablet, and then we watch our diet all the way up to taking insulin and monitoring our blood sugar. It sounds to me like, from what I'm hearing with you, is that we may have varying degrees of ADHD and may require different types of treatment or a different protocol for different stages of the disorder. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's an excellent way of looking at it. It is a spectrum of severity, and in the milder cases, oftentimes if the parents get some education about it and they and the schools make some minor accommodations to adjust to the child's difficulties with their attention and their concentration and memory, then things go pretty well. But as you get up into the more moderate and even the more severe cases, and as the children may also have other disorders that go along with it, 80% of ADHD children have another disorder, like a learning disability,
okay,
or a language disorder, or motor problems. And so, you know, those need to get treated as well. So the more severe the condition, the more likely you're going to see us adding on things like medications combined with formal special education services and recommending that parents get formal treatment in behavioral parent training rather than just reading a book from their local bookstore about child management.
Dr. Barkley, that's going to be the first presentation, but the second one I'm very interested in, because distracted driving has become something that we hear about even with adults. People are texting and driving. People are playing with their devices. We have parents who are distracted drivers. But then we have normally teens who may not be used to being behind the wheel of a car. They're talking with friends. They're listening to music. They're texting. They're distracted drivers. You add ADHD into that mix, and you really are looking at a very difficult situation for drivers. The second presentation, March 5th, yeah, Lenoir Ryan University, P.E. Monroe Auditorium, 5 o'clock, teen driving, ADHD, distracted driving. Tell us about that presentation, if you would, please, sir.
Yes, well, that's actually one of the many areas of development that is lethal in some cases,
or right.
certainly can lead to a high risk of injury for the child. ADHD predisposes to a lot of other difficulties outside of school, whether it's driving or early sexual activity or
right.
increased rate of sexually transmitted disease or pregnancy or difficulties with employment. But driving is one of them. And the reason that's so personal for me is I lost my ADHD twin brother in an automobile accident as a result his distracted driving. This would have been about 11 years ago. And it was very unfortunate. It didn't have to happen. But because of his increased likelihood of speeding, of unsafe behavior, of not wearing a seatbelt, of consuming alcohol, even in light amounts, all of that risk-taking behavior can lead to lethal outcomes, either for the driver or for other people around them. So this is not an insignificant problem, which is why we decided to focus the second part of my presentation on this topic. It's a very high-risk disorder for driving, with greater likelihood of speeding, of crashes, of other citations, of losing your license, and as I said, in some cases, of actually losing your life. So it's very important that people pay attention to this area of functioning in teens with ADHD.
Dr. Barclays, you have truly enlightened me about this morning, because when you were talking, we were talking in the first segment, and you were talking about those decision-making abilities being impacted. Those just came up because when we first had the conversation and we're talking about ADHD and driving, I'm thinking about, oh, there's a shiny object, or maybe I'm going to be texting. I did not think about the other aspects that you just brought up of maybe, I don't want to say unwise decisions, but maybe decisions that would be made differently, of not wearing a seatbelt, of imbibing alcohol, and some of the other things that you talked about that impact so many of the life factors, the early sexual activity, things like this, that come down to, from what I'm hearing from you, sir, are decision-making abilities.
Yeah.
That's what it seems to be from our brief conversation this morning, that's where a lot of this is coming down to decision-making. Am I getting close to where you believe the heart of this may be?
We refer to these mental abilities as your executive functions.
Okay.
It's the front part of the brain mainly that allows you to stop and think about what you're doing, think about past consequences, and consider the impact of what you're about to do on other people and not just yourself. And that requires inhibition, which they don't have, and it requires contemplating your past and your future, which they don't do very well, all of which, as you say, can be summarized in the word judgment. They don't stop and think about what they're doing, and so they're very strong risk takers. As a result, they're the most accident-prone population across the lifespan. It's not just in childhood. They are prone to all forms of accidents during their lifespan, and as a result, they have a shorter life expectancy if they're not treated than other people. And the word judgment is very good, but I want people to understand that there's a neurological basis
sure.
to the problem
right.
with not being able to make decision-making as adequately as other people.
So, we have just a couple minutes here to wrap this up, but
yes,
in the presentations, again, I want to remind people, March 5th, 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock, renowned expert on ADHD, Dr. Russell Barclay, will be joining us here in Hickory, Medical University of South Carolina, Charleston, will be joining us here in Hickory. With the medications that we now have, with some of the things that we're talking about with behavior, it sounds to me like, and you said the most treatable, it sounds like if people get the information, if they make the adjustments, if they maybe listen to their doctors about this, it seems to me as though this is a very, very treatable disease, as you said earlier, and kind of amazing, too, to me that you can actually use the medication, the social behavior modification, and actually have an outcome where people are making better decisions because they're taking care of the neurological problem that keeps them from doing that.
Precisely. This is why people like Adam Levine, the singer, musician, people like Michael Phelps, people like Ty Pennington and Justin Timberlake and other celebrities, they all have ADHD and have been treated for it in one way or another. And you can be successful if you get treatment with this disorder. It doesn't have to result in the failures that many children experience by not being treated.
Dr. Russell Barkley, I want to thank you so much for your time this morning, sir. It's been a real pleasure to speak with you, sir. We look forward to having you here in Hickory March 5th, 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock, free and open to the public. So we appreciate you taking the time and the commitment to join us in Hickory, help our folks find out a little bit more about ADHD in general, and also to find out about teen driving and distracted driving. Thank you so much for your time on the phone this morning, sir, and thank you for the work that you're doing.
My pleasure, sir. Thank you as well.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
3-2